Blog Talk Radio.
Buenas noches, boricuas del mundo. Esta es una nueva edición de Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Yo soy su anfitrión Will Santiago Viera y como todos los viernes estamos aquí para traerles cultura, música e información pertinente de Puerto Rico y la diáspora. Bienvenidos.
Buenas noches, boricuas del mundo. Es un placer estar aquí de nuevo con todos ustedes. Tenemos un show repleto, como ustedes saben, siempre todos los primeros viernes del mes. Tenemos a nuestro amigo, nuestro hermano Jonathan McAntoni, que nos va a traer el libro del mes y estamos locos por saber cuál es el libro. Ni yo sé cuál es el libro, así que ya ustedes saben. Así que estamos esperando ansiosamente por eso. También hoy comenzó una fiesta que se celebra en el barrio todos los años, que lleva de nombre Carnaval del Barrio, pero tiene otro nombre que se usaba, y le vamos a explicar un poquito acerca de eso, pero que representando a Edwin Marcial, quien es la persona que siempre ha sido el representante y el que formó el festival, como está Bici, porque comenzó hoy, pues tenemos con nosotros a Nelson Dennis, que va a hablarnos acerca del festival, y también creo que va a aparecer mañana en el festival, así que por favor quédense para que escuchen las cositas que van a pasar. No se olviden de ir a Twitter y darnos un seguimiento, perdón, estoy medio turbado, siempre me turbo cuando tengo estos dos aquí. Boricua Otter World en Twitter, vaya a Facebook y vaya a Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show, nos da un like, y también vaya a Boricuas of the World Presente y de Pie y también nos da un like por allá. Queremos crecer, como siempre les pido, así que no se me escondan, por favor, vayan a esas páginas y participen, denos su comentario, porque es importante saber lo que están pensando ustedes y cómo hay ideas que nos den para nosotros pues poder hacer nuestro show en el futuro. Como dije, tengo a Jonathan McAntoni y a Nelson Dennis, y vamos a hablar un momentito con Nelson Dennis primero, así que saludos, Nelson Dennis, ¿cómo están las cosas, mi hermano?
Ahí, bueno, en la lucha de siempre. Tratando de rescatar a Puerto Rico ahí, a ver si se puede resolver algo.
Bueno, hay que seguir tratando, mi hermano, y usted está haciendo tremendo trabajo con todo el research que hace y todo lo que nos escribe para que nosotros nos mantengamos informados, así que muchas gracias por eso.
Mira, el problema, bueno, es que en toda la narrativa, every good story has good guys and bad guys, but all I keep finding is bad guys. And more bad guys, and more. It's unbelievable. It's like the plot thickens, and it finally, until it becomes concrete. It just, the plot keeps thickening. It's amazing.
At this point, I doubt you will find any good guys.
Hay 15, aproximadamente 15 apagones diariamente en Puerto Rico, porque la prepa, it seems like there's a willful pattern of service neglect. There's about 15 blackouts, 537 of their trucks are no longer working, and all of their helicopters, they only have four, but all four of them are out of commission. And there's a scheduled rate hike of about 20%. In view, you would think that the rates go down, but no. The electrical rates are going to go up by 20% over the next year and about 55% over the next 5 years. Figure that out. And I hope this is not an indicator of the economic development that the Financial Control Board is going to bring, because if it is so, half the island is going to move out of Puerto Rico. Anyway, that's my news for the moment.
Well, there's an article flying around that Hillary is moving. Of course, it's from Braveheart, I think is the name of the publication, that says that Hillary is moving Puerto Ricans to Florida so she can win the election. I actually sent that out. I think I tagged you on it so you could see it. But anyway, you're here for a different reason. El Carnaval del Barrio, it's happening today. It's probably just ended now. and it'll be happening Saturday and Sunday. And I know that you're good friends with Edwin Marcial, who is the creator of this thing. Tell us about this festival. I know that you know quite a bit about it.
Well, because I've known Marcial for about 25 years. I've known him since the early 90s. And he is the carnaval. It was used to be called the Carnaval Aguadillano because Marcial is from Aguadilla, and he proudly parades in the Puerto Rican Day Parade with a display for Aguadilla every year. Y él también es el fundador del Teatro Moderno puertorriqueño. So he's been a real sort of a cultural treasure in El Barrio for a long time. And he had that Teatro Moderno, if you remember, on 111th Street. I mean, he's been doing this work, you know, essentially by himself.
Actually, it goes further back. I'm quite an old guy, and when I was 18 years old, I did a show on Teatro Moderno Puertorriqueño, which was on 116, 117, and 3rd Avenue on the second floor. Mm-hmm. A really nice place he had there. So it goes even further back.
Yeah. So anyway, what he's been doing now is he's had for 30 years, he's had el Carnaval Aguadillano. But now it's more inclusive. It's called El Carnaval del Barrio. And it's a three-day carnival. Started yesterday, continues for two more days. It goes from the location is on 116th Street from 2nd Avenue to Lexington Avenue. It's like what the Nick Lugo Festival used to be when it was pure. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, but now Nick is privatized. You know, Nick is now a neoliberal carnival. Nick makes $1 million in one day. You know, but this one is the public carnival. This is the real one, I give credit to Marcial because he's been doing it every year, and he has some like real tremendous. He's got great entertainment. He has three orchestras. Iván y su orquesta, the Mambo Stars, y Fuerza Latina. So he's got three orchestras going. And then he's got appearances by Mexican stars, José Alfredo Jiménez y Gabriel Navarro. The guy who starred in Caballo Negro, in that movie, Gabriel Navarro. So, you know, he's got a nice mix. It's today, Friday, Saturday and Sunday. It starts at 11 in the morning and it goes to around 9 at night. And the musical entertainment, starts at 1 in the afternoon. So the festival is at 11 and the music starts at 1 and everything continues until 8 or 9 p.m.
The festival, I know that it changes the name because, of course, we have a lot of Mexicanos in El Barrio, we have a lot of Dominican families that have moved in. But soon we're going to have to change the name to an English name because we have a lot of Blancos that are moving into the Black as well with that gentrification stuff happening over there.
But the fact is a lot of them move in to get a little bit of the spice, you know, that they don't get anywhere else. So, yeah, this is one of the real little treasures that comes along once a year in El Barrio. So I see what you're saying, Will, but I have a feeling that, you know, this one has such a real and authentic feel to it that, you know, it's like the Gigli Festival, like the Italiano, when they do their thing. You know, they're not going to change. They're going to keep the Italian
I'm being facetious here.
I know you're kidding.
You know,
I know you're being facetious.
Gentrification is my pet peeve. You know what I mean? So that's why I'm saying that we are seeing many more white faces and many more, not just white faces, but more affluent people moving into El Barrio, moving into places where our people can't afford. But that's a different story altogether. So I know that you will be appearing at this festival tomorrow, and a special person is going to be introducing you.
That guy, I don't know, man. I don't know what he's saying about me, but he's going to show up tomorrow. That special person at 4 o'clock. I'll be on a 2nd Avenue. There's a stage on each avenue, so I'll be on the stage at 116th Street and 2nd Avenue at 4 p.m. And I'll briefly discuss my book, War Against All Puerto Ricans, and the stage master and the empresario par excellence, Will Santiago Viera, I think is the person that's going to introduce me. I never know what that person's going to say about me. I never know.
I have a lot of stories that people should not know about, but.
Well,
but I just say the nice thing about you.
I know you have a lot going for the show tonight, but let me leave one story as far as, because when you use the word facetious, it reminded me of, for the sake of respect, I'll call him Pucci. Pucci had his own festival. It was different from Marcial's. It was a cultural festival. Pucci was on the community board, and he's also on the board of directors of a hospital that will be unnamed.
I know who Pucci is.
Pucci. Here's what Pucci did, I'll leave you with this, and then you know you can move on to John. But he himself was a cultural treasure by himself. Pucci would come to when I was in my office, my assembly office on 119th. He would come in regularly when he needed money, and he would put on a performance of such emotive power that the Yale Drama School, Lee Strasberg, Anton Chekhov, and the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts all put together could not equate the emotional power of this man. He could cry on cue. Pucci, when I came in, I would empty out my pockets because within 2 minutes, their tears would be streaming down my face, and I would do anything to get him out of my office. The guy was incredible. He was like he missed his calling. I mean, he should have been Eric Estrada in the Cross and the Switchblade. So anyway, here's Pucci. Pucci,
he's a better
because
actor.
He had his,
he's a better
yeah.
He was a better actor than Eric Estrada. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's a very high bar. So Pucci had his own festival. Here's how it worked. He would charge everyone for the kiosks, a kiosco. He would charge them like, I don't know, $200 bucks each, and there'd be like, you know, 10 or 20 of them. And then he would charge for the stage and all this stuff. He'd do this every year. But every year, about 50 people would be looking for Pucci because here's how it worked. There'd be no festival. Pucci would take money from everybody, and then on the day of the festival, everybody shows up. And what the hell? Where is it? There's no festival and there's no Pucci. So basically, Pucci was scamming everybody, but he is the genius of Pucci. Since he was on the board of directors of this hospital, every year he would contract the same lethal disease that would put him in the intensive care unit of that hospital the day of the carnival. And he would have to stay there for like 6 or 7 days. So he had a phalanx of pretty nurses protecting him from the outside world. So Pucci would get sick and check into this hospital every year. And he got away with it for a long time. His reputation, and I'll leave you with this, Pucci's reputation caught on so much that you never knew, people knew, didn't know what to believe anymore. I mean, the guy was incredible. And, you know, when he came to my office, I would just open up my pockets and say, Pucci, here, take the money, you know, before you start crying. So Pucci died. I'm not making this up. He died. And they had the viewing on Ortiz at 103rd and Lexington. So, but people never knew if Pucci was scamming them, you know, because for all they knew, maybe he was, you know, he had one last big scam. It was like the big sting, and he was moving to Puerto Rico. So when he died, they had a closed coffin, and that apparently, you know, made people even more suspicious. So I was there at Pucci's, you know, at the last day of the funeral, and this woman comes up. She walks right up to the coffin, and she goes, "Yo, Pucci, you in there?" I'll never forget that. Wanted to make sure. And that was the Pucci Festival. But you know, and I'm sorry, that was a long story, but my Seattle Festival is a tremendous, true, authentic. He was even so kind. When I made a film about 13 years ago, he let me use, we took a lot of shots, and it was all very realistic and authentic. And I always thank Marcial for that he let me make a part of my film in his festival. So it's a great festival, Carnaval del Barrio.
Marcial is a great guy. Pucci was not, but Marcial is a great guy. And he's just as great a guy as this fella that we're going to be talking to next. Nuestro amigo Jonathan Macantoni Rosa, who brings us the book of the Boricua, Book of the Month, every first Friday of the month. And he's with us. He's probably laughing his behind off of with all these stories, but saludos, mi hermano. How are you?
Saludos a ti. Estoy bien ahora que estoy escuchando esos chismes de Nelson. I love his stories. I absolutely love him.
And no one can tell it. No one can tell it like Nelson, man.
Well, to this day, no one knows that Pucci was in that coffin.
Estoy seguro que está enterrado en Puerto Rico o en el Mar Caribe, one or the other.
actually, yeah. There's a contingency of people leaving from New York to go and mirar en la tumba, sacarlo para ver si está allí o no. But anyways, listen, we need to get to this book. I can't wait to hear about this new book that you're presenting to us today. So how about it?
Oh, thank you. Well, before I get to the book, very, very quickly, because I know you all appreciate this. So I was giving my little girls a bath. You know, I have a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old are my youngest. And the 7-year-old was playing with her toys in the bath, and you know little kids, like they make up little stories with their toys and all, and all of a sudden I hear her say, "We're going to speak the Spanish because we're Puerto Rican, and that's what Puerto Ricans speak."
Well, good, they're starting early.
I'm like, claro que sí, hablamos español. No, because my daughter, well, my oldest daughter, my 13-year-old, she tries to pretend like she doesn't understand Spanish, but she understands a lot more than she lets on. But my two youngest ones are fully bilingual, so but at the same time, it's hard as hell to actually get them to get Spanish. But I think it's la vida. The important
claro.
thing is that they equate being Puerto Rican with our language, with our mother tongue, and so I think that's just something
that's
real special to me.
But, that's a great beginning.
The Boricua Book of the Month is actually a play, and it's by Luis Rafael Sanchez, who is actually the author of another Boricua Book of the Month, which is La Guaracha de Macho Camacho. Rafael Sanchez, I may have mentioned in the previous show, he started off as a playwright. And that's actually how he got his fame, was as a playwright, and particularly doing radio plays, which were very popular in the 50s and 60s. The play that he did just prior to La Guaracha de Macho Camacho was La Pasión Según Antigona Pérez, which is our Boricua Book of the Month. La Pasión Según Antigona Pérez is based on the Greek play by Sophocles, Antigone. And Antigone was a part of what are called the Theban plays. Thebes was one of the main city-states of ancient Greece, and Sophocles wrote 3 plays that revolved around the civil war that occurred between that occurred in Thebes several hundred years prior. And Antigone, in the original play, there's this, the ruler of Thebes is a man named Creon. And Creon has won the civil war over his 2 other brothers. And when he killed his 2 other brothers in battle, he put out a decree saying that those 2 men could not be buried. They cannot be buried. They have to be exposed and eaten up by birds and everything else. They would not be given a proper burial as a sign of their being traitors. And Antigone is Creon's niece. And she decides to bury the body of her brother. I'm sorry. Antigone, the original Greek play, is the sister of Creon, and she decides that she's going to bury her brother. And, you know, she doesn't care about Creon's decree and the fact that he wants to shame the defeated. So the entire play of Antigone takes place with her being in prison awaiting death, because, you know, that's the punishment for her defying her brother.
Hello.
But I'm sorry about that. She buried her brother. She won't tell him where the body is. And throughout the play, it's sort of a back and forth between the two of them about her expressing remorse for what she did. And if she expresses remorse and reveals where the bodies are buried, then Creon will let her live. So La Pasión, según Antigona Pérez, follows the same trajectory of that story. The difference is that, of course, it is set in Latin America, and it's in a fictional country. They never say the name of it, but it's pretty clearly any of the South American countries that the United States has interfered with and put in place a capitalist right-wing dictator. Throughout the play, and this is, you know, part of Sanchez's genius, he has these newspaper reports giving word of things that are going around Latin America and in other countries, as well as what's going on between Creon and Antigona. The same kind of setup is going on, except Antigona in this play is the niece of Creon as opposed to his sister. And it's really what the story is all about is sticking to your beliefs. And I think, especially given all that's been going on in this election, all that's been going on in Puerto Rico, there's a very important message to send. And that was why I decided to pick this play. Because she believes very firmly that Creon is being an abusive ruler, you know, and he's being a dictator, and she's not going to stand for it, and she's not going to let him bully her around, and she believes that her in this play it's her father that she helps bury. And, you know, she believes that they were fighting for their beliefs and that they were right to do so and that they weren't criminals, they weren't traitors. And so she won't give up where the location of their bodies are, and she won't apologize for it. So, I think it's very easy for us to take stands that are unpopular when there's not when we're not really going to be punished for them, you know, like there's not high stakes for them. To post something on a social media post or to complain about something to our friends, it's not necessarily going to get us jailed. And I think that's why people like Oscar Lopez, for instance, are so revered. Because these are people who are truly taking a stand. Oscar Lopez probably could be free if he gave up his principles and, you know, begged the United States for forgiveness or something. But he won't. He won't.
It will never happen.
He's a man of conviction. No, it will never happen. No, he's a man of conviction. And those kinds of people we most certainly should respect and revere. And Antigona Pérez is one such person. So the scene that I'm going to be reading from is actually from Act 2, Scene 2 of the book. And Luis Rafael Sanchez...
Jonathan, can I offer one thing into the discussion? Part of what Luis Rafael Sanchez was doing, he was draping the story of Antigone and the burial of her brother Polynices on the life of Olga Vizcaíno-Garriaga. And I don't know if you're aware, but Olga Vizcaíno-Garriaga was one of the nationalists that went to jail for really not doing much, that she was being pressured to give information on Albizu Campos, and she refused to do that. And so there's a direct parallel between Polynices, with Oedipus's two sons were Eteocles and Polynices. So Eteocles is the one that took power. Polynices is the one that was sort of banished, and Antigone stood up for Polynices. Well, that was Olga Vizcaíno-Garriaga sticking up for Albizu Campos. Albizu Campos is the Polynices figure. And so when Luis Rafael Sanchez did that Passion of Antigone Corrales, it was based on Antigone, but it actually had its political resonance because it was based specifically on Olga Vizcaíno-Garriaga, and he used a lot of the trial transcripts to get to develop some of the dialogue for the play. So that's what gave it a special resonance in Puerto Rico, that it was based on Olga Vizcaíno-Garriaga. Garriga, I'd say Garriaga.
I didn't know that.
Thank you for adding that.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to hear this.
And I'll tell you one last thing. Olga Vizcaíno-Garriaga was a looker, a beautiful woman. So part of what she did, she just sat in that courtroom and she looked at all her accusers because she knew that they all, forgive me, they all wanted to fuck her. But she knew that none of them could stand up to her because none of them were men. None of them. So it's a really interesting story.
Oh, wow.
We're ready.
I didn't know that.
Watch our language.
So,
all right.
Okay, so this. Thank you, Nelson. Yeah. So this scene is actually it alternates between three different things. One is the multitude, which is the masses, and they're all commenting on what's going on with Antigona. And then there is the newspaper reports of everything that's going on. And then Antigona responds to both the masses and to the press. And I'm going to, because it's really hard to read a play when you can't visually see what's going on. So I'm just going to signify when it's the masses talking, when it's the newspaper people are talking, and when it's Antigona talking. Okay, so la multitud no confiesa, reta, se perderá. Creones inflexible, furioso, iracundo, 13 días, plantada en el no. Investigan, le buscan cómplices, terminará dejando su cuerpo sobre el paredón. Dios nos salve, a ella también, ella no quiere a Dios, leyendas. Si no confiesa hoy, la ejecutarán mañana. Caída la tarde, nacido el amanecer, Antigona Pérez, hija de Guillermo Pérez, hija de Aurora Marsán, descanse en paz por los siglos de los siglos. Los periodistas. Información, el mundo, excelsior, el tiempo, verdades, Ortiz, Vázquez, Cabrera, Manso, González. Internacional, el Concilio Ecuménico aprobó hoy, finalmente, el histórico documento en el que se declara que los judíos jamás deben ser culpables de la crucifixión de Cristo, ni considerados como rechazados o malditos por Dios. Local. El generalismo Creón Molina ha anunciado el ascenso extraordinario del joven militar Fernando Curet con cuartel permanente en Palacio. Internacional. Más de 10.000 guardias rojos con toda clase de instrumentos musicales atributaron un recibimiento entusiasta a los 65 estudiantes chinos expulsados de Moscú por las autoridades soviéticas. Local. Monseñor Bernardo Escudero advirtió anoche que la repetición de sucesos como los del 13 de abril llevaría a la República a una anarquía sin espiritualidad en la que las almas se perderían irremisiblemente. Internacional. Crece el número de jóvenes puertorriqueños que se niega a ingresar en el ejército norteamericano. La multitud. Antígona Pérez, no confieses. Descanses los tabares en sus fosas. No te vuelvas ahora, no te arrepientas. Bastó con que los enterrarás. No des tanto de ti misma. Deja ya esos sótanos. Afuera está la vida. Estás a tiempo, Antígona. No serás tú. Limpia, Antígona. Pura te necesitamos. Es el comienzo. No lo abandones. Acepta que has perdido. Es una regla de juego. No sigas, no sigas. Creón es el fuerte. Creón es el dueño de poder. Antígona, no cedas. Antígona, no sufras. Antígona, no pierdas. Antígona, no muerdas. Antígona, prosigue. Antígona, despierta. Antígona, tranquila. Antígona, alerta. Antígona. Hasta la esclavitud tiene sus excepciones. Hasta la ruin hipoteca de la conciencia. Hasta el juego imposible de ser libre sin serlo. De ahí que la definición absoluta se persiga, se procese, se niegue. Nuestro siglo es el siglo de la gran persecución. La salvación no estará en quedarse tranquilos, satisfechos, indiferentes, sino en cuestionar una, dos, muchas veces, si de alguna manera nos están echando de nosotros mismos. También yo comenzaré a gritar, América, no cedas. América, no sufras. América, no pierdas. América, no mueras. América, prosigue. América, despierta. América, tranquila. América, alerta. En sí.
You got going. At the beginning it was a little slow, but you got going toward the end and gave it some steam. I like it. I like it. What's the name again?
La Pasión según Antígona Pérez.
La Pasión según Antígona Pérez. She had one heck of a name.
Yeah.
if I could lend a context to part of what was the underlying drama of this, since it was really significantly based on Olga Vizcal-Garriga, is that this all happened while Law 53 was in place, La Ley de la Mordaza.
Mm-hmm.
And during that time, it would be a crime to just even say one word against the United States, to have a flag, to sing Labor in Kenya. And so that is part of what lent the drama to this, because in the reporting of the trial, Jonathan, even the reporters, cuando tienen la multitud, there was a resonance to la multitud, because la multitud was a stand-in for the press that was also gagged, because you mm-hmm. could not say anything even in the press. About even the press could not properly speak. So part of what Luis Rafael Sanchez did is he used literature as a way of circumventing the censorship of the United States. And so it was an interesting way of using code language in the same way that people use Santeria or Capoeira or different ways of circumventing the structure. It was a really defiant way of asserting the politics by transmuting it into a play. That was part of the reason why that play was such a hit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a weird sense here that I get these things that talk to me. And next time you have a play, maybe perhaps the three of us can take a different piece, each one, and we'll do a play right here on the air. ¿Qué piensa? I read a part, and Nelson reads another part.
Yeah, we could do no exit.
Very interesting, and I like the connection with Puerto Rico. Where can the folks find this play at?
You can find it on Amazon. You can also find it through El Instituto de Cultura Puertorriqueña. It is available through them as well. This is also a play. There's actually a free version online. It's a PDF that you can read. Most plays are available for free anyway, but this one is as well. It's a really masterful work. It actually, the fact that, because I've read both the original Greek play and this play, and the fact that Luis Rafael Sanchez really doesn't change very much of the story, of the central story. The things that he includes, the things that he really changed was adding the newspaper, the newspaper articles. Like that was really the main thing that he added. But otherwise, the story is more or less the same as the Greek story. And it's one of those things where either you can feel very inspired by the fact that an ancient story could still have resonance today, or very discouraged by the fact that we humans have advanced so little that a story from ancient Greece is still applicable today. And in fact, this play is almost 50 years old itself. So I think it still very much speaks to the struggles that we Puerto Ricans are experiencing now. So,
right.
But that's right. The power of literature, no?
Excellent, Manu. So, I want to thank you for coming and bringing us another book, and this time a play, a wonderful addition to our virtual library. Tenemos que irnos ya. Just before we leave, again, we want to let you know that if you're available and you're in New York, you can go to the Carnaval del Barrio, which was officially named Carnaval Aguadillano some 30 years ago. There's going to be some great music. There's going to be some great food. There's some rides too. I actually saw some pictures and my wife was actually there today around that area, and she told me that there were rides and foods and many, many people, plenty of music. So, desen la vuelta, and if you're going to be a little late, just make sure that you're there around 4 o'clock, because nuestro hermano Nelson Antonio Dennis is going to be chatting it up on stage about his book, A War Against All Puerto Ricans. So, Nelson, muchas gracias por estar con nosotros y traernos la información en nombre de Edwin Marcial. And Jonathan, muchas gracias por traernos another exciting addition to Book of the Month. Mi gente, nos vemos pronto, nos veremos mucho. Desen la vuelta para allá mañana, la vuelta. Muchachos, muchas gracias. Anything you want to say before we leave, Jonathan?
Que viva Puerto Rico libre.
how about you, Nelson?
Just try to exercise some restraint when you introduce me tomorrow, because you and I have too many secrets.
No, I'll be a nice guy, man. Come on. Yeah, I'll be a nice guy. I will not say any of our secrets whatsoever. I'll just say, the good stuff.
Okay.
No, muy, muy decente. Mi gente, de veras, desen la vuelta, va a estar muy bueno. ¿Vas a llevar libros en caso de que alguien quiera comprar?
Yeah, I'll take a few. I'll bring my briefcase.
So,
I have four or five.
Recuérdese, si usted no tiene una copia de A War Against All Puerto Ricans, esa es su chance de comprarlo allí, y encima de eso también le firma el libro para que lo vean. Ese es un libro que necesita estar en la librería de todos los boricuas del mundo. Así que la pasen bien, mi gente, los queremos muchos. Lo vamos a dejar con una musiquita que le escribí a mi esposa, que se llama Ana Lucía's Groove. Así que lo gocen bien, nos vemos la semana que viene. Nos vemos mañana, los que pasen por allá. Y recuerden, como siempre digo, para saber a dónde vamos, tenemos que saber de dónde venimos. Que Dios me los bendiga, mi gente. Bye.
Igual.